Natalie and I wanted to share the most common skincare products we're using regularly from Treasure Valley Dermatology's Dene skincare line. Or maybe it's pronounced Dean. We're not sure, and Dr. Portella is in Paris, so we're winging it. In the mornings, we use the Active CE Vitamin C Serum, followed by one of the moisturizers. We like them all. And finally, the Sheer Shield SPF 50 sunscreen. A couple of nights each week, we use the Luna Active V Retinol Serum, followed by the same moisturizer. For us, they've all been great products. If you're curious which skincare products are right for you, check them out online at dermatologyboise.com. The real estate market in the Treasure Valley is picking up, and now is a great time to think about taking action. Whether you're a first-time home buyer, looking to upgrade, or thinking about selling and cashing out, consider reaching out to our sponsors Jesse Taff with Waypoint Real Estate Group and Bryce Gonzer of Fulcrum Home Loans. They've been able to help both buyers and sellers make deals that work for them in a challenging market. If you're thinking about buying this summer, Jesse and Bryce are still seeing good opportunities for existing and new construction homes. And paired with great loan products and more favorable rates, this might be the time for you to reach out to them and take steps towards your home goal. Find them on the web at www.waypointidaho.com and www.fulcrumhomeloans.com. This is the Boise Bubble Podcast. Welcome back to the conversation.
Hey, everyone. This is Natalie Plummer. Welcome back to the podcast. In a very impromptu discussion, I sit down with Becca Bailey from the media account Boise with Kids to discuss this current epidemic of burnout. We had already been chatting for a couple hours about how we are both seeing and experiencing massive burnout in 2024, and the toll social media seems to be taking on our mental health. We decided to hit the record button in case anyone else was feeling the same. We don't have a lot of answers, and this was a lot less of an interview and more of a conversation between two friends who are trying to figure out why we're going a little crazy at times. And if you also find yourself feeling like you're not quite figuring out this new world we're living in, come along for the chat, and maybe you'll feel a little less alone. Okay, Becca.
Hi.
Becca with Boise with Kids. So Becca's at my house, and we're just hanging out venting about everything, and we just decided to turn the podcast equipment on. I hope it works.
Here it goes.
It's not very good. But we're in a good conversation that I was like, I think other people would resonate with this. So we're just going to try this. If we release it, we release it. If not, I think everyone knows who you are, Becca, but what do you do? What's your thing?
That's very kind of you. I don't think everyone knows me, but I'm Becca. I run Boise with Kids, which is always just like comes off my tongue, is the number one resource for everything kid related in the Treasure Valley. Your one-stop shop for everything kid related in the Treasure Valley, something along those lines.
That's nice. I don't have something like that. If people ask me what I do, it's like a different answer every single time.
And that's the thing is I'm so used to saying that, but I don't actually know, does that make sense for someone to hear that? Are they like, okay, I get it? Or am I like confusing in that? I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
But you've also like known it.
That's so true.
It's
but the one-stop shop of what's going on with kids. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a website.
Yeah.
And Instagram and then Facebook. And I also have a weekly newsletter that I send
out. So good, by the way.
Thank you. That's been really fun. I actually really like the newsletter because I can really just summarize things and give links to things, which you can't do on Instagram as easily, which is very annoying because you need the information, you know, like you don't want to. Yeah, so it's nice to be able to, like, send it and have it just easy to read. This is information that you can just absorb quickly and then move on or click a link and go buy a ticket or go see the thing or whatever. So I do really like the newsletter.
Yeah, that's good. And you can hang out with our little group of content creators. Is that what we're calling ourselves now?
Yeah, right, because no one wants to be called an influencer.
Yeah, we're like, ew, no, yeah. Not that.
Well, that was never my goal, too. That
no, yeah.
It very much just... I wanted to have a social media presence because I know that that's where moms are and where, I mean, I spend a lot of my time, but yeah, it's weird. And I never wanted it to be about me, but I also appreciate that, like, I'm a real person. I'm a real mom. I've got three kids, you know, like I'm talking about this from experience, not just I don't know, selling you anything, you know.
Do you feel like people call, do people call you an influencer?
Yeah.
Do you correct them or do you just go with it?
I mean, I'm like, yeah, I guess. I mean, because I don't, I do fall into that category, I feel like, but that's, I don't know. I feel like there's also just such a negative, like, connotation to influencer. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I always want to say, well, which one do you mean? Do you mean the career one who has years and years of experience doing all the things, or are they just, like, twerking and showing their tennis shoes? Like, they're not the same.
Right.
But, you know, whatever.
It's well, fine. And yeah, I mean, there's more of a purpose to my Instagram page. I'm not just being paid to sell products, which a lot of influencers kind of are, or they've monetized just their life and you're attracted to their life and they share about their kids and their life and what they're eating and what they're drinking, what they're doing and whatever. And that's not my goal. So in that sense, I'm like, well, I'm not that, but I have a page that influences people in our community. So in a sense, yes, you know, and I do work with businesses. Like that is how I can make this happen is I am paid to help other businesses advertise and market and reach local families. And I have to be paid to be able to continue to do that. So
what?
In a sense,
you have to be paid? Like you're not just doing this because you love it and you want to spend all your free time just giving free information?
Because I love being on my phone so much.
I know. It's so, people are like, it's just so funny when people are just like shocked when, you know, you need to be paid for your work. What do you, do you think this is what we want to be doing all day long?
Like, I'm really nice. I am. And I do just want to help people and connect people. Like, that is the bottom line. That is the goal. But to do that, like, I, you know, I'm putting a lot of time and effort into it. So it is a way for businesses to market. It is a way for them to advertise. And so, you know, I fall into that media company, media marketing, advertising business. Like, that is what the bottom line of the business piece of it is. So, yeah, it's tricky. It's hard.
The reason that we turned on the podcast equipment, is that what you call it? The equipment, the Rodecaster thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that.
It looks like it's working, right?
Sure. It's got a red record button.
Okay.
Here it goes.
So you brought up something that you've been reading about, and I have seen this too, and that 2024 is the year of burnout. Mm-hmm. And that has resonated with me so much. Mm-hmm. I feel like collectively we're all losing our shit. Like
we're burning out.
We're burning out bad.
And we're aware of it.
Are you aware, like when you said that, are you seeing it or are you also feeling it?
Absolutely. And I feel it, I think, most in work, not necessarily as much in like parenting and things. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, in that too, like my personal life or my social life or whatever. But definitely when I talk to other business owners, but, you know, just the idea that we kind of had those years of being home, being away from each other, not doing as much. And then when we could, we just went all out and did trips and traveled and redid the house and did all these things and just started businesses and went all in. And then it's just like exhausting. We can't keep going at that rate. And we're just tired. We're really tired. And so 2024 for me, like January 1st was like, I'm not interested in goals. Yeah. I'm not interested in like decluttering my house. I'm not interested in dieting. Like I just, where in the past years, it's like, okay, new year, new me, you know, and this year it's like, I just want to go to bed. Like it is dark. It is dreary. I'm just tired.
I like that sound. January 1st. Ugh. Yeah. This is what I'm seeing on my end. You tell me if you're seeing the same thing. So I work a lot with entrepreneurs, a lot with businesses, you know, same as you. And I think we all want to believe that we're kind of like our own people. We're all different, but really we're, I don't know, when you get to be like in your 40s, you start to realize we are all kind of in the same system. We're feeling the same things as the other people are. But like 2020, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a parent, it was like survival. Mm-hmm. It was constant pivot. I mean, figuring out school for my kids was a full-time job. in 2020. Yeah. Three kids, three different levels of school. And then how do I survive financially? It was like my brain was firing so fast, so much, in the midst of incredible uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And then the world, the country's like tearing each other apart. Right. People who were normally friends suddenly hated each other because somebody was wearing a mask and somebody wasn't. And it was like the emotional overwhelm of just mm-hmm. that 1 year. But then the problem was it didn't end.
Right.
Because then we moved right into, okay, the world's settling back down. Our kids are trying to find some standing. They're they haven't seen people in so long, as you've talked about.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to help them readjust. Now my business is moving at this totally new pivot, and I've got to be working it so hard to keep it going. And then everyone else is pivoting around it. And so we're moving, and I just feel like we were sprinting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mentally, everything. It has been years of sprinting. And then we have this idea that we're also supposed to be finding ourselves. We're supposed to be having like really great sex, and we're supposed to be like making sure that we're maintaining our friendships and like at all. And it's, and sorry, rant session here. With the combination of social media, seeing everyone else do it, only posting mm-hmm. how their positives, comparing ourselves to that all the time because we're coping. We're completely dead by the end of the day. So what do? We're not connecting with people. We are scrolling and watching other people's lives, mm-hmm. which we are not supposed to do.
Right.
We're not meant to see that many people.
No.
And to compare myself to
information overload.
Wow, yeah. And only the posts that are like, wow, she really succeeded at that thing.
Right.
Nobody is like, hey, my marriage is completely deteriorating. Hope I get it together. Yeah. Like they're just
no,
like,
it's just the before and after.
Yeah. Or hey, or even then the positives of when that divorce, like, hey, I've come out of it. I'm a new me.
Right.
And like, I look so great. Look how shiny my skin looks. Like this, none of this. I feel like they will write about us of like the mental deterioration because we didn't know better.
Yeah.
That's my rant. Does any of that
so wild. I mean, I want so badly to like have a great answer and have some solutions or have some advice or recommendations, but like I don't. I get it. I'm with you. I'm in that where we're just, yeah, we're on this hamster wheel, you know, and just don't really know how to get off and don't know how to cope, and we're just constantly bombarded with all the things. And it's so hard to disconnect from it, especially when we've then made careers and jobs and businesses around being involved, being aware.
Don't do this job.
Don't do it.
Like, honestly, would you recommend your job to someone?
Well, I mean, yes. But because I'm not just on Instagram and mm-hmm. I'm not just on that in that world, because I have also created a website and I build community and I, you know, have been able to connect a lot of people and help a lot of people. So yes, in that sense, because I am very community focused. That was why I started Boise with Kids. And it really was a part of coming out of those COVID years, because we moved to Boise in 2021. So kind of on the edge of that. And I knew I had almost a one-year-old. Like I had a 2020 baby, you know, like mm-hmm. I knew what it was like to parent and be a new mom and not have community when you need a community so bad as a new mom, especially. Oh my gosh, yeah. And I feel like COVID years were the most impactful on moms, because a lot of them had to juggle. They were the ones who ended up juggling kids' schooling, mm-hmm. maybe quitting their job or trying to work from home while also doing that. And then obviously all the moms who became moms during that and tried to figure that all out on their own, when like, how are you supposed to know how to feed a baby? Why a baby's crying? What, like how to manage life with a newborn and whatever, when you don't have anyone around you to help or to guide you or whatever. So I just saw a real need for connection and for community, and wanted to help provide that, and wanted to help connect moms. And I was also new to an area and wanted to get connected, because I moved here and didn't know anyone. I was like, I need friends. Yeah. Like I need to find people. So yes, I would recommend it, but I would not recommend going all in to just the social media world because it's not real life. It's not real. Like what we're seeing is not real, but then we're feeling it and we're wanting to do it and being influenced by what we're seeing and disconnecting from reality, real life.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. When you're being influenced by something that's not real, then your reality is skewed. I mean, with AI coming, I'm like, I can't. But I mean, it's so, we're sitting here on the couch chatting because you're not here for a podcast. We just turned it on, but like we were just hanging out. We would never have met each other had we not done this thing. And I love that aspect. I love the community. Like the coolest people.
Yes. And I love seeing the cool people that I know via social media and like them showing me things that I wouldn't have otherwise seen and getting to know things about someone that I do really care about and getting to see what they're doing. I mean, all of those things are really great. Mm-hmm. The community aspect is really great. The connection, there is connection on social media. Absolutely. I've met a lot of people who are now great friends through social media, but major but there.
Yeah.
But it's not real life though. It's not the end all be all.
Yeah. And that's where it like really kicks in. It's like to find those boundaries. Like I don't really scroll much. I feel like I don't know what my friends are up to half the time, but then I'll go into a mindless scroll of like 3 hours and then I feel horrible.
Same.
But it's just like, how do we harness this where it's not controlling us?
Right.
And I've been working in social media for 17 years and I have seen everything. I mean, I've moved everything. I didn't do Snapchat because I just got on it and then immediately I had some like creepy guys and I'm like, no, I'm done with this. But like other than Snapchat, but it's like we finding those boundaries, as much as I say it nonstop, like to my husband, Shane was like, I'm out. He's not even running this huge Instagram page anymore that he had. He's just like, I don't want to have to feel like I have to be there. And it's incredible to watch his lightness after that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now I have to do it all for you. But I only want the good things, but I can't force myself, I think, to look away half the time.
Right.
I'm like, why am I not strong enough? Oh, wait. It's because it's literally been designed for that purpose. It's
addictive.
It's making you want to pick up your phone. I started doing this thing where it's like I'd put my phone and plug it in and I would be aware every time I felt the need to grab it. Mm. And I was like, this is, and we talked about this with Anthony Doerr, who he was the author who we had on and he was talking about how it's like reaching for cigarettes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's the new cigarette.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I don't want to be a smoker.
I know. Well, and then I think about how that impacts my own kids. Like they see me on a screen all the time.
Yeah.
And they don't know whether it's work or play.
Yeah.
And I get frustrated that they wake up and they want to turn on a TV or a tablet or a video game. And I'm like, oh, gosh, like, no. But what do I do the second I wake up? I immediately go to my phone, you know? Finding that work-life balance has been extremely difficult for me, and I know it's like top priority that I really need to figure it out where I need to have these like office hours, these work hours, because I can't get quality work done, but I need to, but I want to give my attention to my kids, and they don't understand the difference. It's like the snow days that we had back in January. It was so hard because I was like, if you were at school right now, like I would be working, but you don't see what that looks like.
Yeah.
But now that you're home and you're like, well, what are you doing? Like they wanted me to like go outside and play. And I'm like, I want to, and that's good. And I know that I could and I should, but like, this is a job. Like if dad's at work right now, like I'm doing work too. Like my kids have never seen that because I went from being a nanny when I had my first, I was always kind of working, but with my kids. And then when we moved to Pocatello, it was my first time being just full-time stay-at-home mom. And so they've never known me like going to the office.
Yeah.
Like they've never been in daycare and things. And so seeing me work, like they don't have a concept of what that is, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, why can't you play with us? Or why aren't you whatever? And I'm like, you don't know the difference. But like if I was doing a job where I had to go to work, you wouldn't be seeing me. Like you would be in daycare. Or you would, you know, obviously in school and whatnot too. But yeah, it's really difficult to create those boundaries. And I think that that is a thing that only we share, or that not everyone understands, is like, mm-hmm. there's no work, there's no office to go to. It's just so tricky to balance that.
And people super judge it, which is right. Which is interesting, because I chose this job because I didn't have to use daycare. One, I didn't want to, and it was too expensive. So I chose a job where I didn't have to send my kids to daycare, but yet I'm judged for being on my phone in front of my kids who I'm at home with.
Right.
And it's like, one, then I realize, honestly, the people who judge it are not worth my time.
Yeah.
Like, the people who are looking at this and say, and like, I mean, you see comments on my page. Like, there are just a lot of people who are just not worth my time. But it still messes with my mom brain.
For sure. The mom guilt is so real. So real. I mean, that's why I started Boise with Kids, is because I was like, I'm going to do like social media management, because I had a little experience in that. And I was like, I'll just get my own clients like here in Boise and run pages. And then I was like, well, I don't want to just be on my phone all the time. And so I was like, well, I'll do this thing where it's like connecting moms and connecting with the community and kid focused and family focused. And then I can be doing it with my kids. But then it's turned into a full-time job where it's like, I have to do this work that actually doesn't involve my kids at all. But they're here because it's something I created to do at home and from home. It's just,
And then when they're with you, you're distracted.
Yeah.
We live in a world where you have to have two incomes pretty much. Yeah. You have to. This is just the world we're in. It sucks.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful I was able to be a full-time stay-at-home mom for the first 10 years. And then medical bills started coming in. And then we had a crash. What I'd say is, work is work.
Yeah.
Work is hard. If you're working and you're providing money for your family, stop feeling guilty about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. It's so cool. If you're not providing money for your family and you're just focused on your kids, that's also awesome. Being a parent is really hard.
Really hard.
It's like, it's really hard.
And you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of judgment comes from just not knowing, not understanding. I mean, I look back to, new mom, Becca, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I nannied for a family with my young kid, and they had older kids, and I judged them so hard. Like, I would find things in the back of their van and be like, how do you not know that, like, there's cheese curds melting in the back of your van? And it's like, now I literally have a minivan with so much. I'm like, what is that smell in my van? And I mean, they had a milk bottle of sippy cup of milk, and it would be rotting underneath a bed. And I'm like, how do you not know? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
No, of course I don't know.
I didn't know how crazy life would be, and how you can only manage so much, and there are things that slip by, and that's okay, and that's normal.
Yeah. And that's why you can't listen, honestly. If you don't have kids, you don't have an opinion. Like, for me, if you don't have kids.
Oh, right. It's like that saying where you were the perfect parent before you had kids.
Yeah, don't give me advice. Don't give me advice if you don't have kids, because I once didn't have kids and I was an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, and I look back and I'm so embarrassed. I was like, I had somebody who was under me at work, and I would get so mad at her because she was, I'm like, why are your kids always sick?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, because they're kids.
Yeah.
And they're sick all the time. But I like judged her. Mm-hmm. But it's like, but then you still let that, like, even though you know they have no idea what they're talking about, you still feel it. And then of course, if you're public, then everyone has an opinion.
Yeah, I try to keep it pretty separate, because again, it was never about like wanting to show off my family or me. Mm-hmm. It was about providing this resource. But it's hard not to separate myself and my own family, because it is part of sharing the experience and sharing, try out this place that I literally tried with my kids. It's us doing it.
Yeah.
But I definitely try hard not to be too vulnerable and open about our life, because I don't want to invite any of that in. But I mean, I'm sure if I stop and think about it, like, oh, it messes with my head to think about how many people like do follow me and secretly like hate me or judge me or send messages about me, or whatever. It's a not super healthy place to be.
The first 2 years I didn't show my face, and I didn't get any hate like that. I just decided, like, for me, there were things that were like worth the vulnerability, and that's been hard. Like, especially like the book banning thing, like hitting that hard. I knew that was going to be hard, but it was like, I also want to be able to look at myself in the mirror. and like that part. But then I'm like, would I go back and do it again? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I love the idea. I'm actually going to teach something on this coming up, but it's like the difference between authenticity and vulnerability, and people need to know the difference. Like, you don't owe people your vulnerability. You don't owe anyone your vulnerability. I think you, if you can be authentic, for sure. And that's being your real voice, your real self, and like show that. But that doesn't mean that you owe anyone like your most precious selves. I don't talk about my kids. Like, if I ran a page about some of the stuff I've gone through with my kids, I'd have a million followers. Like, it's crazy, some of the stuff. But I don't, that no one, people don't deserve that. And that's my children's story. And that's not, I'm not going to share that. But there is definitely I can see this happening where people feel like in the name of authenticity, they are completely transparent. And then they become so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And these young kids, oh, please don't let your kids on social media.
Seriously.
I'm like, my daughter is 18 and she still doesn't have social media.
I love it.
Like, I think she sneaks it a little bit on her laptop.
Yeah.
But like, you can't really do much with it. But right. Like, it's, imagine as grown ass adults and we're like losing it. 13-year-olds are not, oh my gosh. They're going to be so messed up.
Yeah.
They're going to be this next generation.
Well, I feel like in a sense they already are with the skincare routines of like 12-year-olds. Yeah. That's probably actually really hurting their skin.
It is. My Dustin Portella just came out and said these tweens should be washing their face and using
a gentle cleanser. Yeah. And that is it.
I mean, we at least use like Claire. What we use like poison on our skin
for sure. Rubbed it so hard till it burned.
The apricot scrubbed. Yeah. We're like, get our real skin.
What were those scrubs that with those little pads?
The Buff Puffs.
I don't,
because we had apricot what
brand.
I thought they were Buff Puffs, maybe. And then there was the astringent.
Yes,
Clear.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. How did our skin look so, I don't know. There's a lot of fixing.
And then
that.
We caked it on with the off colored foundation and
but it stopped right at our jawline. Yeah. Like we were so cool. Anyway.
But I think so much of this is just a deep desire for connection. And we were talking about this earlier together of just people. We need connection. We are meant for connection and we thrive when we have it. And so I think that's what we're saying is like when we do get into the social media addiction and then we're like, what the heck did I just do? Like I didn't even see my friends for the 3 hours I was sitting there scrolling. I was seeing people I don't even know who are maybe better than me or who I want to be more like or who have it all figured out, have these perfect homes, and this perfect body and their perfect marriage and their perfect kids and all the things. But it's not real. And we need connection. And so I think a lot of that, what you're saying of like being vulnerable and authentic is a desire to connect.
That's true.
I want to connect with people and I want to share my real self and I want to connect with people who are also real. So
yeah,
it's a hard balance.
Think about that. Like, yeah, what the main desire is. Maybe we just don't have the tools to know how to do it. I mean, I was alone for 10 years. I had like very few friends because I only knew the people who were really just in my religion who had kids this exact same age as me, which is not a great way to make friends.
Right.
Because it's like just because you reproduce doesn't mean you're going to like bond. I didn't really have friends until I started being an entrepreneur. And I'm like, oh, so you're not going to judge me for having so many ideas and want to be driven? Like you actually like that about me? That was revolutionary.
Yeah.
But like I would go to the library and I'd sit with my toddler and I'd kind of try to strike up a conversation with someone. Like, it was hard.
Yeah, totally. You're like, oh, you have kids. Me too.
Yeah. So,
okay, now what?
Where do you shop for your kids' clothes?
Yeah. Like, but I mean, we're looking for that connection because, you know, being a young mom is a lonely thing sometimes. And being a solopreneur is also extremely lonely. Mm-hmm. And wanting to connect, I mean, I have 12,000 followers. Clearly, I do not know 12,000 people. And it's hard for me to actually kind of maintain that separation because I do want to be this resource. I do want to be a great place to get information and not overstep and move into that kind of influencer and really share about my life. But I also like, I want to connect. Like it's lonely to like put stuff out there and then not get anything back. Like, I can't, I can't follow back my followers. Like, you don't need me to see pictures of your kids and whatever. Yeah. Like, but I do want to connect. I want to know who's out there. I want to know who I'm helping. I want to know what they're up to, what they're needing, how I can help, and just like talk and like hang out and get to know people. So it's a weird balance because it's like you got to put up those boundaries and whatever so that you're not sharing too much of yourself and creating this fake persona and like inviting in a lot of, you know, people ignorantly commenting about your life and giving you things that, you know, what inviting people into your space. Yeah. But you also like want that connection and it is a cool place to connect and you can meet people. And so, yeah, it's just, it's a weird, but I really do think that all of it is like this innate desire for people to connect.
Do you feel yourself wanting to be more vulnerable to see if there's more connection? Or do you feel like that boundary's pretty like set for you?
Oh, it's hard because I feel like that's my natural instinct is to share things, mom things, relatable things. Like every once in a while I'll share something that has nothing to do with Boise with kids, but it's just mom stuff or being a woman or being married or whatever. And I do think that that's oftentimes when I do get that connection is when I do share something that's relatable or vulnerable-ish. But again, I'm trying to put up a boundary for myself this year of not being on Instagram so much and putting that time and effort, which is hard to already get while raising kids and having them at home and whatever, and putting that into the website and the newsletter and creating, you know, a bigger resource for people and whatever. But yeah, it's so hard because without that connection on Instagram, then I don't get people to the website and it's just all so interconnected.
Yeah, it's almost hard. Like you have to give more than you want to make it effective was what I've found in some ways. And it's like I have to be okay with not being have as much engagement to protect myself.
Yes.
And like that's hard. Though you do have like we haven't even mentioned you have like community meetups, which seem to be super popular.
Yeah, it's and again, it was just it all started with connection. My friend Kim, Idaho Adventure Mom, and I, we just like knew each other through Instagram, had only like honestly met and hung out in real life just a few times, and we were like, I want to like hang out. Like we should really like get this on our calendar. Like let's meet up. Let's go get coffee or go get a drink or something. And then we were like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people like that in my that are following me or kind of in this little community that we've created on the internet of like, I want to get to know them too. And I know that they're looking for that community and that connection. Let's throw it out to our following. And I remember I still like very much vividly remember showing up to Payette with her and being like, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Because we knew people were coming that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not the type, honestly, to show up at something by myself. I like very much want that like safety blanket of a friend or I want to know that I'm walking in and I know what I'm doing and whatever. So we went and like we're just so shocked and overwhelmed that there were all these women that came also on their own, also nervous, but also just deeply longing for connection and friendship and community. And so we're like, we should do this every month. And so it's just we just kept throwing it out there. And it's not a networking thing.
Yeah,
it's not tied to anything. Like we don't sell anything. Like we're not trying to get you in our MLM or something. Yeah. Like we're literally just wanting to get out of the house, connect with other moms, connect with other people who are inspiring and interesting and can then go out and do stuff with. And so it's been over a year now that we've had a consistent every single month we've met up and it's been at different places. It's always different people. But throughout it, there's been people who have come a couple of times. And then to see those relationships then grow of like, oh, they met at that mom's night out. And now they're like, actually, the woman who nannies for me twice a week now, I met on Instagram. She followed me and then we would chat. And then I met her at one of our mom's night outs. And now like she's a very integral part of my life being a nanny for me. So it's been cool to have that. And just recently we did an outing where we went snowshoeing and then to the springs, and with the springs you have to reserve spots ahead of time, obviously. And
long
so
time ahead.
I think we reserved 25 or 27, whatever it was. And they filled up within hours.
I know, I missed it.
Out yeah,
I was so,
so
mad.
Many people. Like literally, I looked at the whole list and I was like, I don't even know these names. And some of them I'm like, oh, I have met you at one of our mom's night outs or something. Or, oh yes, I have talked to you, you know, in DMs. But it was really powerful to see 27 people just show up at a parking lot, hop in a car with each other,
yeah,
drive, and we spent all day together. And like one of the women in my car that I drove had just moved here like a month and a half ago.
Oh.
Brand new to Boise, and just was like, I gotta meet people. This seems cool. Like there's clearly a desire again for that connection and that community that's not tied to religion, work, school, whatever, family. It's I'm just here and I just want to connect with people in a way that I can't otherwise. Or how do you find that otherwise, you know?
What I found for me in 2024, this is just me. I want a life that is filled with peace and calm and presence. And if you're retracting or if you're taking from that bank, it needs to make sense. It's all math for that.
Yeah.
That's 2024 for me. And recovering, I have had a lot of surgeries, just whatever.
Whatever. It's kind of a big deal.
It's just whatever. So that's mine. Do you have any like thoughts for
survival? You know, I wrote down a quote earlier in the year, and a lot of it is very work related, but do less but better.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually Marissa, it was in one of her newsletters from Boise. From Boise.
We love you, Marissa. Big fans.
Biggest fan. I have such a girl crush on her. Me I love too. Her so much. And so I've been trying to do that of like, what's my goal here? It's just, I feel like a lot of life is just like, gotta go, gotta do, gotta produce, gotta just be there and whatever. And so to take a step back and be like, well, what is the end goal here? What is the purpose? And if it's not aligned with the end goal, then like, why am I spending time on it? Mm-hmm. So trying to do less, but do it more quality, do it better.
Yeah.
And the same is, you know, can be true of just our personal lives too, of doing less activities, less go, 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 less whatever, and just, but better, mm-hmm. more quality time spent with each other. So, you know, having more outings one-on-one with the kids, or, you know, might not have a ton of date nights, but just having good quality time together with mm-hmm. my husband and with friends too, you know, like, I don't have to accomplish something. I just can just be and have that be good.
I love that. Like when you are given every option, we're in decision fatigue.
Yes.
Every option is available to us. And then
I have found that so much that I think that I and people just want a magic pill. We just want a quick answer. We want someone to just serve us up something. Tell me what to do because I cannot make another decision. Yeah. Well, you've seen that even just about like how, oh, like women can never decide where to go to dinner.
Yeah.
It's because I'm thinking about, okay, well, if I go to dinner here, then like, how does that affect the kids at home? And mm-hmm. oh, that's tomorrow and I got to do that. It's like, I can't make another decision. Yeah. Just pick it for, you know, it's the same sort of thing where I think that we, again, this burnout is like, we've just been going nonstop and I'm just so tired and I have too much going on and we're doing too much. We're doing too much.
We're doing too much. So if you're in mental decline, it's because, and you don't, you're like, why am I the only one? You're not the only one. We are all in mental decline, but because this is the norm, we can't see it. Mm-hmm. Like this is not normal. And if you don't have community to discuss it, then you're just alone feeling completely depressed all the time. Even with a community, then you just vent about it like we just did for like the last hour. But anyway, we could talk, I mean, seriously, we should make this a series, but just even talking about it, you know, it makes me realize, okay, there are things we can do. We can't fix it, but we can have boundaries to help maybe our life not be quite so affected by it.
I think that's a big piece of, you know, you are not alone, you are seen, and it's okay. You know, like, don't hold yourself up to such a high standard. We're all struggling with, we're all in this new era that is not perfect and it's not normal, like you're saying, and you're not alone.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest piece of we might not have answers, but just letting people know that they're not alone and that we're all going through this, I think is important. And that's why we decided to obviously record this is just knowing that we don't have an answer. We do, but it's $9.99 a month, whatever.
I feel better. A little worse.
Yeah, right? I'm like, go drink some water.
Yeah.
Go sit in the sun. Go Go hug your people. Give yourself a break.
Yeah.
Go get yourself a snack. Do you know that girl on Instagram? I love her.
We just need a snack.
Get
Seriously.
Yourself a snack. All right.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening. This is the Boise Bubble Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a 5-star review. Follow us on Instagram at the Boise Bubble. And for more information about our community, follow at Hello Meridian. See you next time.
Thanks so much to our sponsors for supporting Local Dialogue. We encourage you to check them out online. Jesse Taff of Waypoint Real Estate Group is at www.waypointidaho.com. Bryce Gonser of Fulcrum Home Loans is at www.fulcrumhomeloans.com. And Dr. Dustin Portella of Treasure Valley Dermatology can be found at www.dermatologyboise.com and on Instagram at drdustinportella.